John 19, beginning at verse 23. The word of God. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. Beloved congregation, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary is not merely the day of Christ's suffering and death, but it also is the day of redemption accomplished. The day on which he at the very end of his suffering said, "It is finished." On that day, heaven leaped for joy and hell shook with terror. "It is finished." In this word, Christ proclaims his work. This word must be proclaimed to all the earth throughout all centuries, to all ears and hearts of sinners. This evening we will listen to Christ's shout of triumph as an obedient servant, as a confident surety, and as a joyful victor. Christ's shout of victory as an obedient servant, as a confident surety, and as a joyful victor. As an obedient servant. And first of all, the thought, congregation, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of the Father. Here is Christ on the cross. He has just come up out of the forsakenness of hell. He's been faithful to God through the God-forsakenness. Now he can, as it were, appear before his Father with his work of redemption accomplished. And he shouts, "It is finished." The sixth word from the cross is a word in English consisting of three words. "It is finished." In the Greek it is one word, consisting of 10 letters. Tetelestai. It is finished. And it contains the word telos, T-E-L-O-S, which means the end, which means the purpose. It is so finished that it has reached the very purpose, the very end, for which God gave this to Christ to accomplish. You may know that one of the words for sin in the Old and New Testament is the word that really means having fallen short of God's purpose, of God's target. That's that one word for sin, that we have missed the mark for which God had made us. Namely, to so live that we would glorify God and enjoy Him forever. By our sin we have not done so. But Christ has done so as the second Adam, and now He shouts, "It is finished! I have not missed the mark. I have hit it." And Christ knows that He may say this, and He must say this. This you could say, as many have said something like this, this is the word of all words. This word really expresses the greatest work that has ever been done. If this word of the Savior had not been in the Scriptures, had not been there on the cross, if His Father's business, work, had not been transacted, there would have been no word of God. There would have been no church. There would have been nothing to believe. This word is the climax of everything. This is how Charles Haddon Spurgeon puts it. And I quote him, "It is altogether immeasurable. It is high, I cannot attain to it. It is deep, I cannot fathom it." Think of Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had been the servant of God. He was to have dominion under God and dress and keep the garden. He was to be the prophet, priest, and king before God. But Adam had fallen short. And we in Adam, and there never came a time at which Adam could say to his Creator, "It is finished." For as I say, he sinned, and we in him. And so this word, "It is finished," is off limits for Adam and for us as it concerns our life before God. Who can ever say this? "It is finished." In fact, we might as well say, "Lord, I have never even begun, much less finish the work Thou hast given me to do." But with Christ, the second Adam, the servant of the Lord, this is different. The Father had assigned to him the work of redemption. And he, as the servant of the Father, can now say at the end on the cross, "It is finished." Boys and girls, do you remember the first word that Jesus spoke in the Scriptures when he was on this earth as the Son of God and the Son of Mary? Remember his first word recorded in the Scriptures? What was it? In Luke chapter 2, towards the end, there he said to his mother Mary and his father Joseph, "Wist ye not, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And what's his last word, or almost his last word, here on this earth before he dies? It is finished. It is finished. Sadly, many people inside the church and outside the church are still working in order that they might finish. So they think. But here, for the very first and the only time in history, there is one who can say, "It is finished." The assigned task to me as the servant of God has been fulfilled. I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. And this work is greater than Adam's original task in the garden, because he is the second Adam who must restore God's glory, and he must satisfy God's justice. But he has done so now, and he calls out, "It is finished." What a Savior, congregation. He finished it perfectly, willingly, and God glorifyingly. Now notice, as a second point under our first point, how he finished it, or how he puts it, how he says it. He doesn't say, I have finished it. It is finished. Do you see what he does? Here he's on the cross, and he, as it were, hides himself behind his work, points away from himself. Now, all along, our sin has been, every man's sin, every woman's sin, every boy and girl's sin has been what? Our focusing on self. Is that not true? That your life, my life, has been all wrapped around me. Me. Myself. That's what we talk about. I've done this. I've accomplished that. That's our focus in life. Our focus by nature. But God had not created us for ourselves, but for Him. And for His name, to glorify Him, and for His work. And here is Jesus Christ. He has finished the task assigned to Him. What was it? To satisfy for our sin. And to do what we had failed to do, namely to glorify God. And to enjoy Him. To do His work. But Christ here on the cross does not talk about Himself, but about the work that His Father had given Him to do, the business of redemption from our sin and unto the glory of God. Think of this word, congregation, every day this week, every day of your life. This word is the richest word for the Son of God. This word is the most pleasant word to God the Father. And this word is the most dreadful word to Satan. And this is the word that is the most blessed word for sinners. For as it is now finished, there is now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. As Paul puts it in Romans 8, verse 1. Do you know for whom this word is the most blessed word? To you who are convicted of your unwillingness and disobedience, and who say, O God, I have transgressed thy law. I have come short of thy glory. I have darkened thy glory. How can I pay thee what I owe thee? And how can I restore to thee thy glory? To them this is the richest word. It is finished. There are others in our midst who are still trying to finish what God has given them to do. You know something? You will never be able to do it. I proclaim to you this night, Jesus, who says here, it is finished. And the important thing for you is that your eyes are opened to this servant of the Father who says, it is finished. And then notice, thirdly, under our first point, at what moment he says it. When did he say it? When did he finish it? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Friday. At the time of the evening sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. A few hours before the sun, 3 hours before the sun would go down and the work week would be ended. Had God not commanded Adam, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work? But the seventh day is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Here, Christ, has finished the work well in advance of the beginning of the Sabbath. Now think of that. How often are not you and I rushed to finish our own work, our own work week? Some of us are still working on Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Maybe even up to the minute before 12 and the clock strikes. Not so Christ. He finishes the work that his Father had given him to do. No matter how great that work was, how hard, how terrible, how infinite. And he announces before his Father and before all the earth, 3 hours before the Sabbath begins, it is finished. Christ shouts with triumph as the obedient servant of the Father. That first of all, but also as the confident surety. But think about his suretyship. Children, do you know what a surety is? You will know what the word Savior means. But he is not only our Savior, the Bible also brings him out as our surety. What does that word mean? We often use that word surety together with another word for Jesus, namely the word mediator. He is our mediator and our surety. Now you know what a mediator is, right? That is someone who stands in the middle and who brings two fighting parties together. Well, Christ does that. But he is not only mediator, he is also the surety. And think of that word, surety. In that word surety, you have S-U-R-E, sure, sure. And then you begin to understand what it means that Christ is our surety. Christ makes salvation sure. That's the thought. How? By paying the debt or the debts of his people, so that now they are right with God. Boys and girls, now imagine that your father would be in financial debt and he could not pay the bank. And this has been going on for some time, and the bank has said to your father, we're going to foreclose. That means they're going to take your dad and your mom's house, and they're going to put you out on the street. What now? Now imagine you have an uncle, and this uncle comes, and he goes with your dad to the bank, and he says to the bank, I'll be a surety, so that this man and his family don't have to lose their house. And so he makes money available to pay the debt. And he makes sure that you and mom and everyone in the family can stay in your house. Now that's what Jesus does as our surety. When he says it is finished, he's not only saying that his work is finished, his work as a servant, but he is also saying the debt that we owe to God is now finished, is done, is over. As surety, he has not suffered for himself, but for others who deserve to suffer, and he has paid their debts and secured the righteousness of God. You see, the covenant of grace is for the Lord Jesus a covenant of works, which we have broken by our sin. Now Christ has to work. He has to pay. And think of what that cost him. He, the sinless Son of God, Son of Mary, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, suffering the wrath of God against every sin. What a thought. And he has to secure that payment, a just payment, that salvation might be in accordance with God's righteousness. And because he has worked, the covenant becomes a covenant of grace for sinners. God's justice has been satisfied, that now there is grace for undeserving people like you and me. So that, first of all, his suretyship. But notice his confidence in this regard. When we buy something, sometimes the person from whom we buy it gives us an invoice. And the invoice says, costs so much. And if we pay what it costs, then he gives us the bill and he writes on there something like paid in full. Or he puts a stamp on there which says something similar. Paid, which means finished. In full. Now that's what the sixth word from the cross of Jesus means. It is finished. The payment has been made in full. Sinners can go free. Every sin owed has been restored. And there is no more left to pay. It's finished. And do you hear how confident this Jesus as surety is? He knows it. He feels it. He declares it. It's not perhaps it's finished. Maybe it's finished. No, it is finished. Are there still here some who are trying to scrape some pennies together, as it were, in the hope of paying the insurmountable debt before God? Have you then not yet discovered that you are and remain a sinner even till your last breath? You have tried it and it hasn't worked at all. Acknowledge this now. It has not worked at all. Listen. As to how you can be reconciled to God, by the death, by the work of this surety, Jesus Christ, expected from his pierced hands and feet, and embraced with a believing heart this finished work and this Savior, then you can be no more condemned. God cannot demand satisfaction for the second time. With his own blood, this high priest, this surety, Jesus Christ, has paid for his people. Congregation, in Adam, we ran away from God. We stole from God. But here is the second Adam. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we, by his poverty, might be made rich by him paying the debt. And he calls it out in this sixth word from the cross, it is finished. And in this way, pitch black sinners, through faith in Christ, become as white as snow by his blood, which cleanses from all sin. And so, congregation, we speak of Christ not only as a servant of the Lord, but also as the confident surety, but also as the joyful victor. And that's our last point for this evening. You see, when Jesus says it is finished, you can clearly hear this is not a word of accusation, but of atonement. This is the shout of someone who has endured the heaviest work and while dying sees that nothing is lacking in his life. On the contrary, his life has attained to the very goal that God had set for us. And so Jesus on the cross, congregation, is not a lost cause. Neither today, in the dark times in which we live, Jesus cries here with a loud voice, "It is finished! My Father's cause has triumphed!" And so this sixth word from the cross is the banner, the victory banner of the Lord raised up on the battlefield of sovereign grace. While still hanging on this cross, his voice announces who the winner is of the battle. Not Satan, but Jesus himself. Spiritually speaking, here on the cross, he has his feet on Satan's neck. The battle is done. The victory is won. Remember Isaiah the prophet? In Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her" what? "That her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." That's what Christ is saying on Calvary's tree. It is finished. And that proclaims that the battle against Satan and sin has been won. Christ cries out in triumph. No weapon forged against him and his will ever prosper. The victory has been won. Notice that he says that not with a whimper of a voice, but with a shout, with a loud voice, "It is finished." Everyone has to hear it. Everywhere it has to be heard. On Golgotha. But it also has to be heard in the height of heaven and in the depth of hell. Demons, do you hear it? Your leader has been conquered. Angels, hear it. Your adversary is defeated. What a word of victory, congregation. Jesus says that your prince is under my feet. And this must be heard in church, and that's why ultimately, congregation, every sermon is about "It is finished." And when you sit in church and you hear that, then you must come before God, and then you must say, "Oh Lord, I know from thy word that I have been an enemy myself. And by nature I've been fighting on the side of Satan. But I do hear the cry of this victor." And then the Holy Spirit says to you, "Here is Jesus. Do you see him? He's the victor. He's the Savior. He's the surety." He cries out, "It is finished." And the Holy Spirit says to you, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way." Spirit brings you through the preaching to Calvary. And he helps you put your hand on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and to say, "Here I must be. My heart goes out to this finished work." And then notice that this triumph, congregation, has specifically three sides to it. As I say, this is triumph over Satan. "Satan, I have triumphed over you. I've gone into your house and bound you, the strong man. I went into the God-forsakenness of hell that I might find you and bind you. You thought you had me. Oh, vile serpent, I triumphed over you." And it is true, congregation, today Satan is still active. But his tyranny has been broken. Revelation 20 teaches us that he no longer holds the Gentiles in bondage. And he has no more dominion in the lives of the believers. Christ is not only the prophet who proclaims God's love, and not only the priest who makes atonement for sin, but Christ is also the king who has conquered and crushed Satan. And when we do this missionary endeavor, congregation, whether it's Guatemala or we seek to do mission in this community where God has placed us, we should do that in the light of this gospel that we are evangelizing. We are to evangelize a world that no longer belongs to Satan, but to Christ. So triumph over Satan, but triumph also over the world, because in this one word it is finished with all that has gone behind this and lies behind it. Christ proclaims and displays the powerlessness of the world. In principle, the world is lost and has lost. Christ had already said it in John 16 at the very end. I have overcome the world. That applies to the world of 2009, congregation. Think of our present world of sin and iniquity right in our own nation, with increasing immorality and crime, and people being so blinded. It makes us surely afraid when we think of it. But from the cross, Christ cried out, "It is finished. I have triumphed over the world." So triumph over Satan, triumph over the world, but also triumph over sin. Sin has been overcome. And how great a power sin is, congregation. Young people and children, do you know how powerful sin is? In your heart, in your life. Don't you ever see that? What a sin I have committed against God. Is there anyone here who can say, I have overcome sin? Is there anyone here who can say, I have broken the power of sin? Listen, from the cross, Christ cries, it is finished. Christ, who is greater than sin, who snatched the weapons from the hands of sin. Here is the glory of grace. Here is the restoration of the fallen world and the wicked world. In principle, it's been attained. It's finished. Oh, this sixth word, more than any of the other words from the cross, congregation, is the clear and undiluted gospel. It's the gospel. Ah, today many preachers proclaim that man has to finish it. That Jesus Christ has started the process of redemption, and now we men, we have to finish that process, work it out. Now we must bring about reconciliation in all sorts of horizontal relationships. Now it depends on you and on me, they say, whether or not Christ has accomplished reconciliation. But what a poor message that is. That's a message that makes it depend all on us men. Just think of that. If that's how it had to be, that we had to finish it now. But those preachers are mistaken. They are bringing a false message. Christ here cries out, it is finished. And when I come to the application of congregation in a final point, two words, two thoughts, repentance to God, first of all, because this one word, it is finished, calls for two things from us, as the gospel always calls for these two things. And as I say, first of all, it calls for repentance from you and me. When we hear this word, it is finished, that word should humble us to think that God had given us a work to do. And it must be finished. And none of us will ever finish it. And none of us can ever finish it. And we need to learn that lesson, that we have missed the mark. We have fallen short of God's ordained target. We are deeply in debt and we cannot pay. In fact, we have joined the enemy, the devil, the world, sin. And by nature, we fight all our days against the Savior and against the Lord. And against his shout of triumph until the Holy Spirit melts our heart, breaks our heart, and we begin to see our sin and our need of this Savior and his shout of triumph. Beloved, has the gospel ever been brought home to your heart in that way? And you know, it's something we need again and again. God had made you to glorify him, to enjoy him. But we have sinned. We cannot make satisfaction for sin. We cannot ever attain to the God-ordained target. Have you ever been broken by this, under this, and become needy, for it is finished? You see, the Lord does not give repentance to those who are not needy for it. But when you are convicted of your sin and you come to see that you must make satisfaction and you cannot make satisfaction and that you cannot fulfill all the righteousness of God. And then to hear this rich message from the cross of Jesus, it is finished. And then the Holy Spirit applies that to your heart so that you stop trying to work and finish things yourself. And then the Holy Spirit says it to you, and he repeats it to you. What does he say? He says, soul, remember, it is finished. And when you die in your desire to finish things again and again, and to submit to this righteousness, and then by experience know that Christ is the end of the law, as Paul puts it in Romans 10, for everyone that believeth, then God also will bring this into your life and finish what he has begun in your life from out of this finished work of Jesus Christ. He applies it to all your unfinished circumstances so that you can boldly say, yea, thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for me hast undertaken. So that first of all, repentance to God, but then also faith in Christ. That's the second response that this shout of victory should have in us, congregation, namely faith in Jesus the Savior and in his finished work. What is faith in Jesus? Faith is this, that you rest the weight of your whole life, of your whole being, sin included, and that you say, Lord, let thy finished work avail for me. O God, if thou art satisfied with the finished work of Christ, what is then faith? That faith is this, that you are satisfied, completely satisfied with Christ. That's the nature, you could say, of true faith, that you are satisfied with Christ. Do you remember the words of William Guthrie in the book The Christian's Interest? This is what he says in one line: less cannot satisfy, and more is not desired. Think of that. Less cannot satisfy, and more is not desired. If we have faith, then we close in with Christ. Then he is all our salvation. Then he is all our desire. Then our soul rests, because the cross that satisfies God satisfies also our conscience. It is finished. our congregation, there may be someone here, and there may be more here, who say, I hear what you are saying. And I have had many times in my life that I thought that I believed on Christ. But you know, I have suffered so many spiritual assaults and disappointments in my life that I find I no longer dare to believe in the finished work. That His finished work avails for me. Well, my friend, let me read to you once again what you have heard many times in this church from the form of the Lord's Supper. That Christ, through His shedding of blood, confirmed the eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation when He said, it is finished. If God is satisfied, oh, then there can be times that the tempests rage around you and that you think all is lost. But the Apostle Paul says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. It's finished. I must close, congregation, and I close by asking you, what does the finished work of Christ mean to you? Really, this is what the sermon tonight comes down to. You're about to go home. What will you remember of this text? If you even only would remember this, that Christ says, it is finished. Do you know what then repentance says? Then repentance says, I have left it all unfinished. And then faith says, Christ has finished it also for me. Do you hear that? Repentance says, I have left it all unfinished. But faith says, Christ has finished it also for me. Lord, finish Thou for me what Thou hast begun in me, for Jesus' sake. And this is how we leave and go into the remaining part of this week. But how will we work this week and study and travel? Will it be in the light of the finished work of Jesus? This word, it is finished. This word governs all of history. Scripture says 3 times, it is finished. The first time is Genesis chapter 2 verse 1. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished. Right after creation. And the second time Scripture says it is here in our text. On Golgotha. It is finished. And then in Revelation 21 verse 6. When John sees that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband, then he hears this voice, and it says, it's a different word in Greek, but it comes down to the same thing. It says, it is done! It is done! And when then the day comes that you must die, that I must die, will that be this week? And if you and I then know these things, then Christ puts His own words upon your lips. And then when you must die, then you can say, Lord, I can come now. It is finished. Not that I have finished anything. It's all unfinished from my side. But He sealed it in His blood, in His dying hour. It is finished. And so I can live and so I can die. Now the rough places are smooth. Now the crooked is straight. Even death is but an entrance into eternal life with Jesus. And all because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, outside of this Christ, salvation is not possible. But in this Jesus and his finished work, it is impossible to perish. Why? Because it's finished. Live then, labor then, and die then, and live forevermore on the foundation of this shout of triumph from the cross. It is finished. Gloriously finished. Amen. Let us pray. O blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a gospel that thou didst send thy Son to be the servant of thine and the surety for thy people and to be the victor over Satan and the world and sin and to have finished what we left undone. What a difficult gospel, for it is so in us by nature to want to do something, but to die to it and to rise to it is finished in him, by him, our Savior. Blessed Jesus, how shall we thank thee, dearest friend, but by believing on thee and turning from everything that displeases thee and to so live that it is evident it is not we that live, but thou in us. And grant our lives thus to have significance by thy finished work. In our young years, and as we grow older, we pray for the elderly in the congregation. Our sister Catherine van der Sloot, brother Len Silvers, Ruth Lindhout, Mina van't Hoff, Henrietta Sikkema, Imogene, Kay Quakel, Mina Wieringer, Rokas and Louise de Blay, Brother Fassi, Sister Hitchcock, our Sister Ellen Basin, ye all. And grant also the work in this vineyard, in the spread of the gospel and the living of the gospel, may be so lived by us that this is the focus. It is finished. And the world that Satan still claims is thine, O God, O blessed Savior. Grant the work of consistory to bring forth much fruit. Bless the brothers at the consistory meeting also this week. called to make nominations for elders and deacons and for all related work. Bless the spread of the gospel here and give us men of wisdom, the wisdom of Christ. Grant our wives, our mothers, our fathers, our children, our young people to be persons who have but one look, the look of faith, the life of repentance, to live out of Jesus and his finished work. Oh, bless the persecuted church. Bless our nation, our president, Congress, all servicemen and servicewomen and their loved ones, also Brad and Dan and Tyler and Jacob. And may thy kingdom come with haste. Lay Satan's dark domain to waste and rule us by this precious word. It is finished. Hallelujah. Amen.